The largest reorganization in the history of the Department of Veterans Affairs won't look like most reorgs you've seen before. You can read the details about that reorg at federalnewsradio.com. That theory is according to Bob Tobias. He's professor of key executive leadership programs at American University, and he says the org chart at the VA won't see the changes that you see at some agencies when they do reorgs. Why do you think that's the case, Bob? Why do you think that this will look different than other times agencies have tried to restructure things? Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Francis. It's nice to talk to you. A couple of things. First, usually reorganizations have to do with moving boxes around organization charts. Yes, there's going to be a new group of people, a new division of people who are focusing on customer service. But this reorganization is really about a change in focus of the entire organization. This really is focused on behavior change in terms of the way VA employees view veterans. And this is a focus on behavior change. So it's different than how most reorganizations are structured in the federal government.
You wrote me a little note before we went on the air, and it says, this is a reorganization in how VA will treat employees and measure success. And we've talked pretty significantly to a variety of folks about what this means for the employees there. My colleague Sean McCauley talked to Carol Bonacero, the Senior Executives Association, on the program yesterday, and that interview is archived at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. And she, of course, is very worried about the due process issue for SESers and also worried about the potential slippery slope here, that if it's good enough for the SESers at VA, some folks in Congress would argue, it's good enough for the other career employees, the general schedule employees, and it's good enough for the SESers at another agency, and then we slide more and more and more until we see a dramatic erosion of due process rights. Are you worried about the same things, Bob?
I am. I'm worried about it across the federal government, but I'm worried about it in how it's handled in VA as well. There's an awful lot of data, Francis, that says that if you want to increase the levels of customer service, you have to have an engaged workforce. And the 2013 data shows that the Veterans Health Administration, which is where all of these issues are, is 168 out of 300. So they rank pretty low. So I think that Secretary McDonald has to focus not only on externally, on increasing customer service externally, but he's got to focus internally on creating an environment where there's an engaged workforce that will deliver on the promises that he's making.
There's a political element here, Bob, and that I don't think people have paid enough attention to. And I know politics is not our bag normally, but when people first started to ask each other the question, who is Robert McDonald? This guy was on nobody's radar screen, and people dug into his background. And of course, as people do in Washington, they looked at the politics first. And about the only political figure of significance to people in Washington that he had personally given money to in the past was John Boehner. So he was not what you would view by any means as a typical political appointee who had done one thing or another for the administration or the president's campaign or anything like that. And I find it interesting that nobody has chosen that element to focus on as part of the conversation about where he wants to take the VA. He was very clear in a lot of the media appearances that he did when he talked about the 1,000 employees potentially facing disciplinary action. I want to get to that in a minute with you if we have time. But he was very clear. The law doesn't mean what people think it means, and we're going to respect the due process rights of these employees. And he was very clear that he was not just going to go about firing people willy-nilly. And I think that that's interesting, that coming from somebody who, I suppose there are members of the House that expected he would go in there and go, well, he's one of our guys, so he's going to go in there and do what we think he should do. And it certainly doesn't seem like he's doing what they think he should do, whoever they are.
I agree with you, Francis. And for me, that's a good sign. Obviously, there were people who were violating regulations and maybe the law, and they need to be dealt with. But I think, I hope, that he, since Procter & Gamble is such has such a focus on customer service, that he recognizes what I mentioned just before, that I have to have an engaged workforce, not a fearful workforce, in order to succeed ultimately with providing better service to veterans.
Well, and his position there certainly would feed the narrative to members of the Republican caucus in both chambers that propose that government work more like a business, and he would be in a position to be able to tell them his experience, at least, in how to make that happen. I mentioned the 1,000 employees that he talked about. I got a number of emails from friends of mine in radio not associated with federal news from around the country saying 1,000 employees, kind of framing that as though that's a tremendous number of employees. And I let those folks know there are 315,000 employees in the Department of Veterans Affairs. And when I did the math, that comes out to 0.003, and then, you know, the digits go out, percent, not 3%. 0.003% of the employees in the Department of Veterans Affairs that he proposes could face disciplinary action. And I imagine Procter & Gamble or any other business in America would take that. We're picking on Procter & Gamble because Secretary McDonald used to lead that organization, but I think you see what I'm getting at, Bob.
I do. And I think that statistic that you just articulated is very important. Yes, there are people who need to be disciplined, but it is not a large percentage of the workforce. Let's discipline them and move on.
And we've talked before on any number of occasions about the fact that it's not impossible to fire somebody. It is difficult, and it does require extra layers of compliance and so on that you don't see in the private sector. But it's not impossible, and it does happen on an ongoing basis.
Well, I think in this case, the regulations are clear about signing reports about what you've done. And if you say, I'm scheduling appointments within 15 days, and you're not scheduling them for 6 weeks, then you're responsible. And that's clear.
If this reorganization, Bob, is not a reorg in the typical sense of one, and it's not a matter of looking back 6 months or a year from now and seeing if this person now reports to this person instead of that person, then how will we know, let's say January 20th, 2017, when Mr. McDonald and President Obama are likely no longer in office. Mr. McDonald, I suppose, could get asked to stay on by another president, as Secretary Gates did. But how will we know at some future point that this reorg was a success or that it didn't live up to expectations?
Two measures, two very objective measures. One, you'll be able to measure the customer service provided to veterans. They're going to start surveying veterans. They're going to have the data. They're going to know how soon appointments are scheduled. They're going to know whether or not they've recruited the number of doctors they need to actually provide appointments. And number two, you can look at the employee viewpoint survey. If that's going up and at the same time the service provided is going up, you'll know that McDonald's is a success.
Is there a point in trying to analyze or maybe overanalyze the viewpoint survey numbers, because if it goes up this much, that's not good enough, or it goes up this much, that's good enough? Or is that trying to slice the apple too thin?
I think it is. I think it's the trend. It's the trend over time. And most importantly, the four questions that are in the survey that apply to GS-15s and above, if those are trending up, then McDonald is doing what he needs to do.
Is 18 months long enough, though, to make an impact on that, given the cycle of the viewpoint survey?
It is. It is. And there have been dramatic increases in agencies. When Colin Powell took over the State Department in 1 year, it went up 6 or 7 spots in the overall survey for large organizations, largely attributed to his new leadership at State.
And that's another good point, because there are a number of different ways you can look at those results. You can look at the raw numbers. We went up this many percent. But you can also look at the rankers and see what kind of progress you're making against your colleagues at other agencies, I suppose.
That is correct. That is correct.
Can you weight those? Is there one that's more important than the other, or does it matter?
I don't think you would weight against other agencies. You're going to be you're going to be competing against yourself because you are where you are, you have your baseline, and the challenge is, where are you going to be a year from now? Now, it's not magic. The questions are there, the answers are there, and it's going to be whether or not Secretary McDonald executes internally and externally to improve customer service.
Bob Tobias of American University. One thing that I wonder about some of the things that Secretary McDonald has talked about where it may be useful, and I hate this term, but I can't think of a better one off the top of my head. It may be useful for him to hold up a scalp or two, and that is in the whistleblower area. Right now, the level of trust among whistleblowers, people who see misconduct and want to report it, is very, very low. And I wonder if it's useful for him or for somebody else in the Department of Veterans Affairs, not to go out looking for somebody, but there are certainly plenty of opportunities, it appears, to say, here's somebody that we're not going to reveal the identity of the person that talked about this going on, but here's somebody who's no longer with the agency because a very judicious employee who cared about the vets and cared about results let us know what was going on. We took care of it internally, and this person's no longer with the agency. And beyond that, we won't get into it, but there are results being demonstrated here. Is there value in that, or does that actually turn out to be a detriment to morale?
You know, I think that the more powerful, Francis, would be the reinstatement of anybody who lost their job, the celebration of the fact of those who did not lose their job but were harassed in their work, to celebrate the fact that they are there and that they continue to work and that they're to be encouraged to continue to let the secretary and others know of problems in the workplace. I think that would be much more powerful.